Welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with Bill O'Brien, the president of Connecticut Right to Life. Thank you for joining us today, Bill.
Glad to be here.
Recently, I guess the Friday before the March for Life, the Health and Human Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, announced a mandate that was to require every health insurance policy to cover birth control at no cost to all of its patients or, you know, subscribers. And that included any employee-based health care, and that included employees that were Catholic, you know, in the churches and the Catholic schools and all the different Catholic organizations throughout the country, despite the fact that the Catholic Church teaching is totally opposed to birth control. And so I want to talk a little bit about this because it's so timely, but there's two different aspects. Like, there is the contraception aspect, but there's also the religious freedom aspect. So I wanted you to address the religious freedom aspect first.
Okay. Well, you know, of course, the Catholic Church has been forever, you know, against contraception, and even more so against abortifacients and abortion. You know, this bill is going to require the only exemption is for churches themselves. So, you know, your parish priest, you know, he wouldn't have to pay for it. But most every other organization within the church, you know, or outside the church that's a religious based, will have to pay for, will have to buy insurance for its employees if it's providing insurance. You know, that includes contraception, sterilization, abortifacients, and you know, regardless of their religious beliefs. And you know, that's the exception. There is, the Obama administration said that there's an exception, you know, that you know, as long as you only, you know, provided services for, you know, people of your faith, and you only employed people of your own faith, then you were exempt. But I mean, the Catholic hospital, they don't only treat Catholics, they don't only employ Catholics, so they're not exempt. Catholic schools don't only have, you know, they have non-Catholics as teachers, they have non-Catholics as students, so they would not be exempt.
It's funny because all of these organizations are nonprofit, and to be a nonprofit, you have to have a non-discriminatory law. Or you know, bylaws saying that you're not going to discriminate based on hiring or, you know, services to people. So them saying that, you know, it's you're exempt if you only hire Catholics, that's crazy because
right.
You know,
and
that you can't.
And a Catholic and any hospital cannot turn away any patient that shows up at the emergency room. I mean, that's, I don't know if it's federal or state law. I think it's federal law.
Nor do they want to either.
They don't want to, no. And, you know, but it's a catch-22. I mean, you know, even if they felt they had to, they can't because the law is going to get them one way or the other. You know, so even if on conscience, because of conscience, they said, well, we can't accept you because then we have to follow the other laws. Well, then you're breaking the other law in the meantime.
Right. So what's the fallout was that all the bishops wrote letters and complained about this. And so they changed it, right?
Well, they didn't really change it. They said that, okay, instead of the employer having to provide the insurance, you know, the insurer would have to provide the insurance or would have to provide it. Now, apparently the Obama administration either didn't know or didn't care that most Catholic institutions are self-insured. So a lot of dioceses, the Knights of Columbus, I imagine a lot of hospitals and so on, you know, they're self-insured. So they're not only the employer, but they are the insurer.
Right, right.
And, you know, so one way or the other, they're going to, under this mandate, they would have to provide, you know, coverage for contraception, and regardless of what their beliefs are. So, again, it's a catch-22, you know, whether you're the employer or the insurer, you're going to pay for it.
And now, has this ever happened before where the government has basically told another, or any religious organization that they have to do something that was against their their conscience?
Well, I'm sure there's probably been some cases, where states maybe have done it, and they've almost always have been overturned. There's been a couple cases where some Indians or something were using pot, basically, or some kind of drug, illegal drug, and I think that they, first the state tried to ban it, and they went to Supreme Court, and they won. They could use it. In this case, there are some, I think it's the I'm not sure if it's the Quakers or, one of those groups, they don't believe in insurance. And so they were exempted under Obamacare from having to buy insurance at all. But the Catholics were not, even though it's against their religion as well.
And the Catholics don't not want to buy insurance. They just don't
want their insurance covering
abortifacients and contraception.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they can't even make that little bit of a accommodation.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's where we stand right now. So even though Obama's, said that there's a accommodation, that's not what was actually written into the Federal Register, which is, the new regulations take the effect of law,
right,
when they're done. But basically, he said you got a year, to figure out how you're going to do this. And as Cardinal Dolan said, we have a year to figure out how to violate our conscience. And I think it was Cardinal Dolan or some others, said that, even within that exemption that they wrote originally, even Jesus wouldn't fit into that because he didn't just minister to Catholics
or
Jews or whatever at that time. He went out to the Samaritans and everybody else and helped them all, so he wouldn't fall into that exemption.
Well, let's see. So we have April, May, June, July, August, September, November. Hey, we only have a few months. We could just totally overturn this whole thing. We could just unelect a certain president. The religious objection aside, is this just like, did he really think this was going to be a political ploy to pay off women? Does he really believe that women are so stupid that just because you'd give us free birth control, we're going to vote for you?
Well, I don't know about the politics. I think the politics comes probably back to Planned Parenthood, that he was under pressure from them, and maybe his own beliefs too. But, that they wanted, the best way for Planned Parenthood to beef up their business for abortion is to push birth control.
Right.
They keep saying, get on birth control and the number of abortions will go down. Well, exactly the opposite has always happened. And, you get young people sexually active at an early age and sooner or later that birth control is going to fail,
mm-hmm,
and they're going to end up getting an abortion. And Planned Parenthood does over 330,000 abortions the last year that they reported, about one quarter of all the abortions in the country. So that's their bread and butter,
mm-hmm,
and they're just drumming up business. And and the more people they can get on birth control, the better.
Right, because they also get kickbacks for birth control too,
right,
the people get their birth control through them.
Yeah, and people come in. They come in for the birth control, and next when they need the abortion, they'll come back to the same place.
Right, mm-hmm, right. So yeah, it's building up a clientele base for them.
Mm-hmm.
So now the conservatives or people who are against this mandate are being accused of being anti-women because we don't want women to we don't want to pay for women's contraception. And a woman came before the Congress to testify that being a Georgetown law student, she was covered under their health care, which is a Catholic university, and she had to buy her birth control out of pocket, and apparently that's very onerous for her. Not the fact that Georgetown probably charges an arm and a leg.
About $50,000 a year, probably.
But $9 a month for birth control that she can't handle.
Yeah.
So I mean, first of all, I think she was a plant because she's really not the 23 or 24 year old student that they were pushing her. She was 30 years old. She specifically chose Georgetown because it was a Catholic university, and she wanted to push against their policy And so, you know, that's why she
right.
mm-hmm. Did this. But how I don't understand how they can look at what birth control has done to this country and to women in particular, and say that it's good for women or society. You know, over the last 45 years that, you know, we've had birth control, obviously the out of marriage, you know, children born out of wedlock has increased. We've gone from like 5.8% to like 41%. So it hasn't helped children, and the leading cause of poverty, especially for children, is one-parent families. So we're not helping children. We're not helping women as far financially because of birth control. So I don't see where they're coming from.
Well, I mean, you've got all these, in the Democratic Party, you've got all these different influences. You've got the Planned Parenthood. And then they're for the free sex thing, basically. And, you know, pleasure is their highest goal in life. So the free sex fits into that. But you've also got Planned Parenthood and other groups, the environment groups. I remember back when I was in college, I was in on the first Earth Day, I guess, and I, for a internship, I chose to go to Friends of the Earth, which I figured a good environment group.
Sounds nice, yeah.
And I got in there, and then I realized that their sister organization was called Zero Population Growth, and it was a sister organization. And so that's when I first realized the tie between the environmental groups and the population control groups. And I mean, they're more in the background, but they're there, and they're pushing the same thing that Margaret Sanger did through Planned Parenthood and the eugenicists that she was tied into with in the United States and England and Germany. And we know what happened in Germany,
right.
But the ones in England and the United States, they just changed their names and tried to change their spots and continued pushing the same thing that happened in Germany. There's a superior race, Margaret Sanger, she went after the blacks here. You know, they're still going after the, African-American people and, anyone that's poor. You know, she was going after anyone from Southern Europe she felt was, inferior genes. That meant the Italians and the Greeks and whoever else, anyone that wasn't like her.
Right.
And, so that's all in there. And they're pushing again. It's all tied together. This free sex, pleasure, population control, and controlling the environment. Concern for running out of raw materials and things like that. And it's all centered on me. You got to be enough for me.
Right.
And
right.
We're not going to share it with in a family. With any children or with anyone else that wants to have large families or anything.
And we are, being pro-life, we're also pro-Earth because, Earth is sustaining life, but not at the cost of human life. You know what I mean? It's like we want to be good stewards of the planet. We don't want to waste our resources, but certainly we want to, welcome as much life as we possibly can, because that's all God told us to do. Mm-hmm. Be fruitful and multiply, and
right.
We have to trust that He will provide, and He always has.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very suspicious of environmental groups because, like you said, they're very closely tied to a lot of these population control freaks. Mm-hmm. That apparently it's all theirs. It's like we can live, our family can live, but we don't want anybody else to populate the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned something about Margaret Sanger and the black population, and it just struck me today because I was listening to a lot of the commentary that's being talked about now. There was that young boy in Florida that was shot and killed by a neighborhood watch group.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the self-appointed black civil rights leaders are down there, you know, stirring up all these, you know, race riots and things. And they're saying, we can't believe, you know, that, you know, our black men are being, killed and nobody's caring. Where are they when there is a real conspiracy in this country to kill off the black population, and it's called Planned Parenthood? Mm-hmm. Where are they against them? They do everything they possibly can to support them, and it's documented that Margaret Sanger went after the black population, and the blacks are killing themselves off at a much higher percentage than all the other races. And more black babies are killed each year than all the other causes of death. Mm-hmm. Abortion is the number one cause of death of blacks.
Right. I just saw some figures in the, I think it was for New York City, breaking it down by zip code, and the number of abortions of black babies. And I think in some zip codes, it's like 60 to 70% of all black babies, you know, are aborted. That's astonishing numbers, of course, Planned Parenthood is almost always in the inner city.
Oh, yeah.
Where, the blacks are and or other minorities, but, particularly the black population is a target.
And with the fact that, it's obviously a tragedy that this young man was killed, mm-hmm. This never should have happened, but where are these leaders when there's really a true humongous epidemic in their own culture that was perpetrated against a white racist? Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
It blows my mind that they're not.
The whole destruction of the black family in this country, and pushing contraceptives, on them, and through the school-based clinics in many cases, maybe not all of them, but in many of the cases. It is genocide, and it's happening, and no one's noticing,
no.
Especially the black leaders. You think, and I shouldn't say that. More and more black leaders are noticing it,
right.
But not the ones that have the big,
the big names,
the
or the
celebrity ones,
or
right?
They're not plastered all over the news. So, coming back to contraception and women. Over the last 45 years since contraception has been introduced in this country, the status of women is really, really not improved. The fact that the family is deteriorating because, marriages break up. It's shown that, people who have relations before marriage have a much higher divorce rate. But there's also the fact that even in the bond of marriage, if people are contracepting, they have no, they feel that there's not going to be consequences of having extramarital affairs. That breaks up the family. So there's all these things that contraception has done to destroy the family and, in turn, destroy women. Because now the women are left with raising the kids. And if they got married to begin with, there's so many women now that have kids out of wedlock, and the husbands don't take any response, or the boys don't take any responsibility. So I don't think it's really helped women in that sense whatsoever.
Well, the largest indicator of poverty in the country is whether the woman is married or not. If she's the mother of a child or two. So no, in that sense, it certainly hasn't helped her. I guess there's some good things that they say that women with a college education, they have a very low divorce rate. As far as those that don't have a college education and that they get into cohabitation or mm-hmm. something, or just single mom to begin with, they have digging deeper, and they're still digging, unfortunately, a hole that they can't get out of very easily. this whole thing of making free contraception, why contraception? Why not other life-saving treatments instead of this? They're saying that this is the most, just like they say, pleasure is the most important thing in life. Well, having free sex and having your birth control to go along with it seems to be the most important medical treatment that you can get above, your heart transplant, your heart surgery, your cancer
blood
treatments,
pressure,
your diabetes and
yeah.
everything else. You still have to pay for your broken leg, but you can get, free contraception.
And the thing too that, we see all the, eat organic, eat natural, do all these things that are, natural, because all of these processed foods and everything are bad for you. But you're going to put synthetic hormones into your body. Just recently in 2010, out of the Hutchins Center Cancer Center in Washington, they mm-hmm. published a study that showed that. It was interesting because there's been a lot of studies done to try to see whether or not there's a link between breast cancer and the artificial hormones that women take for birth control, because we already know that the same hormones that they take for menopause has shown an increase in breast cancer. What this group did was they separated out the different types of breast cancer. All the other studies kind of just lump breast cancer in general together. Mm-hmm. And what this group found was that a woman who is on birth control pills for more than a year, which is very common, triples or quadruples the risk of getting the most deadly form and least treatable form mm-hmm. of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And we're telling women, sure, have it, take it. That'd be like passing out cigarettes to all of the women on campus.
Right.
Because and the World Health Organization recently classified artificial hormones, that in all contraception, as a class one carcinogen, along with asbestos and cigarettes. So, sure, free, take these. Yeah. How are we helping women?
Right. They're just going to create higher health care costs later on and more problems for women. You mentioned about natural things, and that is such a big thing in society, has been for so long. And yet, natural family planning and NAPRO technology, they're just, most people haven't even heard of them.
Right.
And particularly NAPRO technology. And, but these are very scientifically based, probably the most, forward-looking, medical care in the world. And yet, it's a big secret.
Right. And it's, like you say, it's all natural. The natural family planning has the same success rate as the artificial birth control. And the NAPRO technology, as far as trying to help a couple get pregnant, has a higher success rate than in vitro fertilization, a much higher success mm-hmm. rate than, and it's free. Well, not free, but it's a lot cheaper.
Yep.
And it's natural. So we're totally going against, the tide when it comes to reproduction.
Yeah, if a woman really wants to control her own body, first of all, most of these bodies that are on birth control, or at least I shouldn't say most, but a lot of them, seem like they're out of control, like the one at Georgetown, it seems. And, but natural family planning, the woman gets to understand, what
right.
her body's doing and the whole process. And it's not the old rhythm method. And that was 50 years ago. Of course, it's probably, when you write a letter to the editor, you get someone writing about natural family planning, you get someone writing back and say, oh, the rhythm method doesn't work.
Right.
Well, we're not talking about the rhythm method. That's probably a pharmaceutical executive that's writing
right.
the opposing letter. And just going back to where we started tonight, where is all this contraception thing coming from? It's also coming from the pharmaceutical industry, which has huge interest in promoting contraceptives.
Sure.
I mean, any kind of pill that they can get you on that you have to use every day for years and years and years, that's
money in their pocket.
That's a big,
and that's a
big,
cheap pill to make, you
right.
know, and they get a lot of money out of it.
And this is giving it to healthy people to make them sick, basically, you know, to make a major segment of their body, you know, not work properly.
Right.
And, you know, so they're making big profits off that.
And even bigger, too, if people now know that they're going to be free, how many more women are going to, you know, go on the contraception, you know, it's mm-hmm. and damage their bodies. And
right.
I saw another article in Scientific America that said that women who are on a birth control pill, it's very interesting that they are attracted to men that are wrong for them. In that a woman who is natural, not on the birth control pill, will tend to naturally be attracted to a man who is very different from them genetically. But when a woman is pregnant, she tends to bring around herself family and people who are familiar to her to protect her in her you know, pregnant state. And the birth control pill tricks the woman's body into thinking that she's pregnant, and she's more attracted to a man who is more familial to her. And, you know, so that wouldn't be the person that she would normally be attracted to. So mm-hmm. there's a real ebb and flow in marriages. So if a woman marries a man that she's attracted to without the pill, when she goes on the pill, she's less attracted to him. And so they're showing all of this. It's like, it's amazing, you know, all the things that's going on just from this pill and how it's affecting her relationships with the men around her. So, again, not good. Not good
right.
for you. That's why we find a lot of women who are attracted. They say, I always find the wrong man. Well, that's right, because you're not in your natural state.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess it's, I mean, the pill is still the new thing on the block. You know, it's only 40 years old or whatever, and I guess we have to go through this process of finding out, well, it's not such a good thing after all, you know, physically and socially and you know, for families and for marriages and so on. You know, I just read something today about a woman that had, you know, she was the oldest woman that got, used in vitro fertilization. And, you know, her child is now 4 years old or 7 years old or something, and she's now almost 60. And she's thinking, gee, I hope I'm around when she goes to college or gets married. And she says, if I had to do it all over again, she's saying, if I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't have done it. You know, she loves her daughter, but she says, now I know why women have menopause. And okay. So, but she had to go through it to learn it. And I guess we have to go through this whole contraceptive thing to learn why it's not good.
And I hope we do learn. I hope we have talked to our family and friends about the things that we have learned here tonight. And when you look in the mirror the next time, you realize yours too is the face of pro-life. Please join us again next time.